Morning. Welcome. Today's collection is for the building fund, and also any pledges would be any prayer requests. Today, Tom will give the sermon, and after the sermon, we'll serve Holy Communion, and Cal will do the psalm, and we'll start with 485.
This morning is Psalm 95, verses 1 to 9. You know, I don't know what happens to you. It certainly happens to me when I read the Word. Sometimes it captivates me. Sometimes it arrests me. Yeah, and sometimes I want to stay there. And, you know, I guess what caught me this morning is the contrast to some of the letters to the book of Revelation, to the book of Laodicea, I think it is, and Philadelphia and Thyatira that we see here. So as the psalmist has written, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel down before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work." Amen. Let's continue with hymn 450.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Thank you, Father, for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you with joy and with peace and with the thought of, wow, can you paint a picture this morning? The hoar frost outside is just beautiful. And you can paint a portrait like no other. Father, we thank you for what you show us, not only in nature, but in ourselves. Father, we come to you this hour with hope with faith, with love, with patience, with long-suffering, with abundance, with so many things that you've given us. We have a body of believers that believe in the truth of the gospel. We have a hope that one day we'll be in heaven. We have an assurance that you are the author and finisher of our faith. We have a reliance on you through our walk and a guide through that Spirit. Father, we ask this morning that you would open up your word so that we can proclaim it, we can receive it, and we can do as it says. Father, we come to you in prayer with those that are hurting, those that are in a place where they don't have as much hope, they don't have as much assurance. We ask that you would be with them and give them the confidence of the finished work of the cross. Give them the assurance that it is finished. And give them the ability to move forward in your kingdom in a way that produces fruit and opens the word. Father, we ask that you would bless everyone in this congregation with a peace and a rest and a comfort, that they are brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we come to you fearful to even look into your word so that we can honor it and proclaim it in a way that glorifies you and your Son through that Spirit. Father, we need your help for this. Please open the word to us. Give us the ability to receive it. Give us the ability to have it impact our lives, impact our day, impact our hour. Father, we thank you for this hour. And we thank you for that perfect prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love be with you always to the ends of the earth. We'll be reading in Romans chapter 5. And we'll be reading verses 1 to 11. The actual text today was 12 to 21, I believe, on the calendar. But it started off with wherefore. So I decided, well, I better find out where the wherefore is before. So I didn't get to that part. So it's just the 1 to 11 we'll do today. We'll read it in Jesus' name. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely was a righteous man will die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. Therefore, being justified by faith, we'll just stop right there. Justified. Just as if you had not sinned. By faith. Why justified? What does justify mean, just as if you had not sinned? Well, because your sin was placed in the flesh of Christ. It was placed there 2,000 years ago. It was condemned there. And he took on your sin, and he imputed his righteousness to you. If you look at Romans 8, and you can keep your place there, we're going to be moving different places. But if you look at Romans 8, 2 to 4. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Your sin was condemned in the flesh of Christ 2,000 years ago. That's why you're justified. Because he was the one that took on your sin and imputed to you the 33 perfect years that he lived. We receive perfection, his righteousness. He receives our sin. That's the exchange. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And faith, it says justified by faith. Whose faith? Whose faith are we justified? Is it our faith? Or is it his faith? If we look in a few verses here in Habakkuk, if I can find it. Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 4. Before, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. For the just shall live by his faith. If we look in Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 3:21 to 31. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works. Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, we establish the law. So we have here the justifier. If we read Romans 4, 4 and 5. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. I'll read that again. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If we're working out our salvation, God owes us something. That's not how it works. But to him that worketh not, which is the believer, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. But to him that worketh not, which is us, the true believer, believes on him that justifieth Christ. He justified the ungodly. He took on our sin. And his faith endured the cross. By him going to the cross, he endured everything that we should have received. And it is accounted for us for righteousness. So when we believe in the person and work of Christ, because of that, by the grace that was entered into our heart, because we were broken, lowly, and contrite, we received grace, the grace of God, which means that we are favored of God. We are set apart. We are taken out of darkness into his magnificent light. We are set apart into his kingdom. And this gives us peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace because it is finished. We have peace because we are at rest. We have peace because he's the author and finisher of our faith. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Grace. God's favor over us. He favored us. If we read John 1, 15 to 17. This is John the Baptist. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of the fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The favor of God, his grace, came by Jesus Christ. The truth of God came by Jesus Christ. If we look in Ephesians, chapter 1, we read 3 to 11. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." So we have, by whom we also access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We stand in grace. We have access to grace by faith. Grace starts the process. The favor of God starts the process. A broken and contrite heart that's lowly, grace enters into that heart. Faith is received, and the process begins. So, if you read, and I'm not going to go to, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, so no one can boast." So it starts with God, and it ends with God. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Do we glory in tribulation? We should, because it produces patience, experience, and hope. What is hope? Romans 12, 10 to 13. This is what hope produces. And the reason why it produces this is because we don't deserve God's mercy. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Because we deserve the wrath of God, and we get the mercy of God. Because we are called by God, we have this responsibility to be affectionate one to another, to love one another, to prefer one another, to be not slothful, to be fervent in spirit, to serve the Lord, to be patient in tribulation, and to pray. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why do we have joy? Why do we have peace in believing? Because we didn't come up with it. God planted that in us. And we have hope. Hope in what? Hope that we will be in heaven with our elder brother, and with our Father, through that Spirit. Patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What does glory mean when it says glory in tribulations? Romans 4:16 to 25. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and call those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, but he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We glory in him. We're like Isaiah, woe unto me, a man of unclean lips. but we glory in him. Because he has changed us. He has taken us out of darkness. He has brought us into the family of God. If we look at verses 5 to 11, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the hope of salvation. It is in us. We have the confidence that the potter will finish the work. So you have here the Christian who has faith, who has peace with God, who is at rest, who doesn't work because the work is complete, who God was gracious to, is gracious to, who has the hope of salvation, who glories in tribulation, who has experienced patience, is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the Christian. Now we read verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Before you were born again. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners and enemies, Christ died for us. Where were we positioned? Where is the Christian positioned? In verses 1 to 5. Where did he come from? Without strength. A sinner. Dead in trespasses and sin. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man shall men some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The moment in time when you were an enemy of Christ, the moment in time when you were low, you want nothing to do with God, that's when he died for you. He died for you then. But he has taken you out of darkness and into his light. So it's saying here, much more than being now justified by his blood, because of the blood of the cross, you are justified. We shall be saved from wrath through him. We deserve wrath. But because of the work of the cross, because we have faith in him, because he was gracious to us, we shall be saved from wrath through him. But if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. When we didn't even want anything to do with him, we were reconciled to God. How much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? Our confidence should be overwhelming that we are saved through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because he died for us when we were enemies and sinners. He imputed his righteousness in us, his 33 perfect years, and gave us the grace and mercy and peace, and to enter into his rest, like it says in Hebrews 4. We enter into the rest of Christ. What does that mean? We rest in what he has done, what he is doing through sanctification. But we were enemies, and we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also, joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. It's been paid for. Guess what? We're not guilty. It's been paid for. How do we live? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What does that look like? Matthew 4:4. This is the example of Jesus after he had was taken by the Holy Spirit to the wilderness and he was tempted of Satan. And the fourth verse says, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He had went 40 days without eating. What does he say? Man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus was hungry. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible. The Word of God. We need to read it. We need to understand it. We need to pray to God and ask for the desire to look into it. Give us discipline to have that conversation. The best conversations you'll ever have is in the Word. The best conversations, the most intimate relationship you'll ever have is with Jesus Christ through that Holy Spirit. And there's many excuses, but there's people in here that have 1, 2, 6, 7 kids, and they know their Bibles better than me. Why? Because they want to know the bridegroom. They want to know the bridegroom. That's the most important relationship. They have 4, 5, 6, 7 kids. And they know the bridegroom. So anybody that's 15, 16, 17, 64, 65, that don't have to deal with kids every day, boy, we are without excuse. There's men in here that work 12, 14 hours a day that know the Bible. Go home, they read the Bible, they get up early and they read the Bible. Because God has given them the desire to read it. So, boys, ladies that are young, if your parents who probably know the Bible way more than you do and are way busier than you because they have more responsibility than you, you have no excuse not to read it. Ask God to help you, give you desire to read it. I'll kind of end with this before communion. And I've told some people this story, and maybe it'll bring some tears, but maybe it won't. I was outside one Sunday. It was this potluck. There was this young boy who was over the hill, the ledge of the hill there, all by himself. I think he was 10 years old at the time. And I felt bad for him because he was all by himself. Nobody was around him. Nobody was playing with him. So I thought, well, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to go and ask him, hey, what's up? So I went over to him. He was hunched over like this. And I went to his back and I said, Gavin, what's going on? He had his Bible open. Just reading my Bible. Why? Because he was the bride. He was the bride. It's important. It's important to read and to know who Christ is. And if you haven't, please ask him to help you with this. In Jesus' name. Let's continue.
Thank you.
Shall we say the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Let us pray with them. Let us pray with and for them who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy Holy Communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of the body and blood, that they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink, in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, and which was, and which is to come. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us all pray as our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with thee. take, eat. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. The blood of our Lord Christ shed for you. Let us give thanks and pray. We thank you, O Lord, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. We beseech thee that thou of thy mercy would strengthen us through this communion in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, the dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost forever, one God, world without end. Amen. Let's humble your hearts and receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Lord, make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.